Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. One of the more interesting features of this year's Auckland Festival must be Siren, a massive music, installation, art, performance and engineering feat which opens at MOTAT today. To help shed some light on exactly what that means is Siren's creator, performer, composer, call him what you will, Ray Lee. Ray, I don't know. I've seen video of your installation. I don't know how to describe it. I'm sure that you've got it down to a couple of sentences now, have you?
It's always very difficult to describe Siren. In some ways, it's an incredibly simple thing. It's a series of metal tripods made out of steel. They range in height from 1.5 meters to 3 meters high. They've got motors at the top of the tripod, and then there's an arm on the top of that with a little loudspeakers on, and they spin around and they make sound. Now, it sounds very simple, and it kind of is simple, but what happens is, because the sound is moving, something very interesting happens to the sound. The sound starts to kind of oscillate, to vibrate, and the sound's physically being pushed past the listener.
I mean, do you describe yourself, because I mean, this is as much about what you see as what you hear as, and the interaction with people in that space as well. I mean, do you call yourself an installation artist, a sculptor, a musician? What are you? What does it say on your business card?
Well, it doesn't say any of that. it's interesting because at the Auckland Festival, we're down as part of the visual arts program. I mean, I don't see this as a piece of visual arts, and yet people could see it as a piece of visual arts. I think of it as a piece of electronic music, which is being created by a series of machines. And then there are two operators of these machines, myself and my colleague Harry Dawes, and we activate, we control these machines, we tune them like musicians, tune the little electronic oscillators that produce the sound, like the notes on an organ, if you like. We tune these to very specific notes, we start the tripods moving, the arms start to rotate very slowly, gradually it builds up until I think we're going to have about 25 of them in the MOTAT space until they're all spinning, and they're spinning really quite quickly. So it becomes this spectacle which takes over in some way.
Let's have a quick listen to one of the to your recording of this. It'll give people an idea what we're talking about.
What intrigues me is what kind of background you come to this sort of work from, because I could imagine it could be, the science in there, there's visual art in there, you've described it as a work of music. What were you doing before you did this sort of work?
Well, I trained as a musician as a kid. My father was an artist, so I always had an interest in art. I went to college to do art and music, performance. And over the last 20 years, I suppose I've been moving towards finding some way of bringing all of those different elements together. And I think Siren, for me, is the most successful example of me combining these different elements together.
Do you think there's something particularly affecting for people about things like sound art? Because, the comparison I can make looking at that is with light art, which I always find really affecting, these really basic things.
Well, I don't know whether for me, it's not about whether it's sound art or not sound art. Actually, what I'm interested when I go and see art is something that does something. I like art that moves. I like art that is made of machines. That's the kind of thing I do. I like making things. I like making machines. I like tinkering with motors. So being at MOTAT is perfect because the place is full of old machines. So in some ways, my kind of rusty sculptures kind of work quite well there.
Are there occupational safety and health issues having what are essentially mini helicopters inside a room?
It's all extremely safe, I have to say.
Have there been any injuries?
No, there have been no injuries. Some close shaves for myself and Harry, because we have to move quite close to these things. But the audience is kept at a safe distance by a safety barrier. The audience, the thing about Siren, which is quite particular, is that we get the audience to move around. You experience it from different angles. In fact, in the warehouse we're using at MOTAT, you're going to be able to walk all the way around the installation, kind of in amongst it as far as it's safe to do so. And we put up a barrier and a rope barrier so no one can get too close for comfort. But because you can move around, it sounds different from every single place in the room. And that's quite different to going to an ordinary concert of music where you sit down and just listen to something. I suppose it's more like an installation. I describe it as an installation because these machines are installed in the space, but they're activated. It becomes a piece of theatre. A piece of theatre controlled by these two performers who move around, controlling it, tuning it, adjusting the speed, kind of shaping an experience that we take the audience through this experience.
How long do people tend to, I mean, is it a show that people come to, they stay for an hour, they listen to it for an hour?
It's a show, well, it's 45 minutes long. So you arrive and, yeah, we take you through a 45-minute process where the thing gradually builds up to an intensity. And then we have a kind of dramatic lighting shift where all the lights go out except these little red LEDs at the end of the arms. And the piece changes from this, from looking at a series of metal sculptures, into a swarm of fireflies.
Well, the first performance is on later today, so we'll let you go and get on with your fine-tuning. It's on down at Motet, and it's running for the rest of the week. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Now, if you've been in the middle of Queen Street this month, you've probably seen the famous Spiegel Tent, the centrepiece of Aotea Square, or as it is for the duration of the Auckland Festival, Red Square. We're joined now by the man behind the tent, the Spiegel Maestro, if you will, David Bates. Well, David, first question has to be, how do you get a gig touring the world with a tent?
Well, I came to the Spiegel Tent through playing music in it in Edinburgh in the mid-80s and fell in love with it, as many people do, as audiences and performers do, and was talking to the owners at the time and was suggesting that it comes to the Southern Hemisphere because it's such a unique piece of, you know, Art Nouveau, early 20th century Art Nouveau, as a travelling building. And they said, yes, we'd love to see it travel the world, but we want it used here. They just bought it from its then Dutch owners, and so I hired it off them in 1996 and used it in Edinburgh on a site that hadn't been used before, and then ended up, that was a successful year, and ended up producing it every year since, and then bought it in 2001.
So it was purpose-built right from the first instance as a travelling building?
Yes, it was. It was built in 1920. It's a demountable, self-supporting structure that can stand on a hard surface or a soft surface, so it doesn't get anchored to the ground. It's about 28 tonne in weight before you put an audience inside it. And it's a major, heavily used public building that was originally used in Belgium and in the central parts of Europe as a travelling dance hall. Was its original use in sideshows and travelling fairs. And then when sideshows kind of became electronic arcades, anything nostalgic kind of lost its popularity in the late 60s, I suppose, and things got broken up and chucked away and things like that. So there's not very many Spiegel tents left. And then in the 70s, a new life was discovered for them in arts festivals and music festivals, food and wine festivals, things like that. So it's actually doing now what it's been doing for 89 years.
So how did this one survive? Like,
yeah, well, it was just, I suppose it was just lucky. It was in fact, it was sold. It was warehoused for many, many years. It was bought by a guy who had bought a fairground ride and the Spiegel Tent as a job lot, and he wanted to operate the fairground ride, you know, the merry-go-round, and he didn't really know what he had. And then an enterprising jazz trumpet player actually discovered that he had a Spiegel Tent and ended up buying it sight unseen, and then had it erected and realised what it was, and realised that there was a contemporary future for these kinds of buildings. You know, so you don't see them anymore in sideshows or in you know, fairs and things like that, but they pop up all over the world now in arts festivals particularly, and even New Zealand has its own called the Pacific Crystal Palace that was created about 7 years ago maybe, and it now pops up in Christchurch and Wellington and places like that.
I mean, to call it a tent is really not doing it any justice whatsoever, is it? I mean, it's got a hardwood floor, is that right inside?
Yeah.
It's got stained glass windows throughout. I mean,
yes.
It must be incredibly, I mean, fragile for one to transport.
No, it looks more ephemeral and fragile than it actually is. It's a very solid and really usable public building. It's decorated with mirrors and glass, and so it looks, and it deflects the light, so it looks very, it looks more fragile, but it's actually a very solid public building. It's has 3,000 pieces that all fit together. There are no screws or nails in the whole thing to hold it together. And yeah, it feels like a permanent building when you're inside it. But the only thing that makes it a tent is that it's demountable and that it has a canvas sort of roof.
Shape,
you know,
it's
a round building, yeah. Made of wood, essentially made of wood with a really substantial steel frame and things like that.
You were involved in one of the main productions that's on in the Spiegel Tent this year, La Clique.
Yeah, La Clique was created in the famous Spiegel Tent about 4.5 years ago for Edinburgh. And La Clique is a contemporary sort of variety show, mixture of a kind of burlesque, cabaret, and new circus work that that has had this extraordinary success. It was created, as I said, 4.5 years ago in Edinburgh and sold out that year. It was a phenomenon that year in Edinburgh, as things are occasionally. And then since then, it's done about 22 or 23 seasons around the world. It sells every ticket we ever put on sale for it. It's currently running in the West End and has been for the last 8 months. And it's just announced an extension until June the 14th. And it just won an Olivier Award for the best entertainment on the West End. So it's had this incredible journey. It's been all over the world. It's been in New York and Dublin. It's been in Montreal a couple of times. It's been all over, well, it's in Sydney and Melbourne and Adelaide. It's been to Auckland twice.
I would recommend people go and see it, but I understand it's already pretty much impossible to get tickets. I couldn't even go and see it myself.
You're welcome. We'll find a seat. There's a standing room for you.
It's very, very hard to get tickets there, though. But there are other shows in the Spiegel Tent over the Auckland Festival.
The Spiegel Tent, in my use of it in the last 12 years, has had a very big life with music and cabaret performances of all kinds, and it's had a big life in arts festivals. As a receiving house, as a place for bands and cabaret performers in particular to come and perform, and then out of its kind of late night club and out of its live entertainment kind of program, La Clique was born. When we realised that there was many, many fantastic artists that might only have 5 minutes or 7 minutes of really extraordinary work, and yet they don't really have a context to put it in. So that's what La Clique is really. It's an old-fashioned variety show kind of context, but done in a subversive and really contemporary way, and it's done with people that are at the peak of their powers. So it's not very patchy. It's very consistently strong and has a particular irreverence and kind of a contemporary slant to it. So that's why La Clique, I think, is so popular. But the Spiegel Tent is a fantastic performing venue. It's like carrying the world's most perfect music venue around, and being able to put it on the most extraordinary real estate in the world, really. It's a fantastic environment for about 350 people. It's a very cosy environment. It's really intimate, but yet that's a commercially viable size.
Well, that's great. Look, that's a great sales pitch, I'm sure. So awesome. if anyone does want to go along and see something in the Spiegel Tent, the program's up there on aucklandfestival.co.nz. David Bates, thank you very much for your time. Spiegel Maestro.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.
And both Siren and La Clique run through until the 22nd of March. For more information, go to aucklandfestival.co.nz. Coming up after the break, we talk to Clark Gayford about how he's almost got the best job in the world, and we hear from Lawrence Arabia.